Amen. God bless you, church. Good morning. And I'm gonna say, since Pastor Ricardo's not here, I'm gonna say it for him. Kingdom greetings. So in his stead, kingdom greetings. And how many? I love the song that the praise team sang. Holy, you know God is holy, and you know this is what they're saying right now in heaven. You know the angels, the cherubims, they're going back and forth. They're saying holy, 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 and they're saying it constantly and without fail. So he's a holy God, you know. And the song that they were singing says that God is infinite, and he's infinitely worthy of our praise. And so when we come into the house of the Lord, we should give him the fruit of our lips, because he's holy and he's worthy. How worthy is he? Did he wake you up this morning?
Yes.
Amen. Did he start you on your way? Did somebody have to dress you this morning? Amen. He's worthy. He's worthy. You know, and I think one of the lines in that song said, I'm going to give him my all. Is he worthy of your all? He's worthy of your all. So, you know, we should have no holdback when it comes to God and when it comes to praising him. Give him your all, everything you have, and not just praising in here. When you're not in here, give him your all of your life. That's what he wants. And, you know, God is going to come back looking. He's going to come back looking for a church without spot or wrinkle. That's what he's coming back for. And we're a part of the bride of Christ. And when he comes back, he wants to see our garments without spot or wrinkle. So we're going to work on that, right? We're going to work on it. We want to be a part when he comes back. We want to be a part of the bride. And today, what I want to talk to you about is one of the ways that we're going to get out the spots and wrinkles so we can be ready when Jesus comes. Not that any of us have any, right? Amen. We don't have none, right? We're clean and holy, right? Amen. But the power of forgiveness is what I want to talk about today. And you know, when Jesus came, he gave us the power to be forgiven, to forgive ourselves, and to forgive other people. Really, the whole Bible, even starting from Adam, is about forgiveness. It's all about that. Because when Adam fell, he plunged the whole world into sin, because we all fall short of the glory of God, right? So when Adam fell, God began working things out for our forgiveness. From the beginning, the whole Bible all the way through is about the forgiveness of mankind. And so that's what I want to talk about today, the power of forgiveness. And God has been actively, supernaturally seeking to forgive man, you know, from Adam. Because why does he want to do it? He wants to do it so that he can have communion with man. Now God was enjoying perfect communion with Adam and Eve before he fell. Perfect communion. And he was walking in the garden with them. There was no sin. So a holy God can come close to you when there's no sin. But because Adam and Eve had no sin, God could come walking in the garden with them without reservation. Because if you come, now think about this. In the Old Testament, we're not going to read all that stuff, but in the Old Testament, I know you know about it. In the Old Testament, when the priest would approach, the high priest would go in to cover the sins of men, the people, he had to do a ritualistic cleaning, and he was going to go into the Holy of Holies behind the veil. How many know about that? Behind the veil, okay. Behind the veil. But the only way he could go in there, and when he went in, he had the robes on, and he had bells on the bottom of his robes. The bells were there in case he went in there before the holy God in the Holy of Holies, and there was sin in his life that he didn't take care of before he went in there. So the bells were there to know that if he fell down dead in there, we can drag him out. If we didn't hear the bells ringing anymore, we know, well, the holiness of God got him. So ever since then, God has been trying to restore us being able to come to a holy God in that way. You know, and this is what happened when Jesus died in the temple where that veil was. That's why the veil was torn from the top to the bottom in the temple, and he made a way for us to go to the Holy of Holies. How many know we're kings and priests right now? We can go into the Holy of Holies without sin, and we can do it because the blood of Jesus has been shed for us. You know, and so we need to thank God for the blood. And, you know, there's power in the blood of Jesus. There's power in the blood of Jesus, and we need to always thank God. Thank God for that. That's what communion is about. When we take communion, we are recognizing the power of the blood of Jesus. You know, it'll wash you white as snow. Now, that's the main topic, the power of forgiveness. And there's power in the blood. Now, one thing that we know about God is that he has foreknowledge. He's a smart being. He's really smart. He's the genius above all geniuses in the whole wide world. And how many know he knows the past, the present, and the future? He knew that it was a possibility that Adam was going to fall, right? So and we're not going to go there, but in Revelations 13 and 8, you can look it up later if you want. In Revelations 13 and 8, he said, it says, now there's some controversy about this scripture, but most scholars believe that God had prepared for Jesus to die before it ever happened. Because in Revelation 13 and 8, it says that the Lamb was slain before the foundation of the world. Before the foundation of the world, he had already made provisions for us. Before the foundation of the world, he had foreknowledge. I tell you, he's smart. He's smart. And of course, in John 3:16, which we all know, because he loved us, he said, I'll give you my son so that I can come and have communion with you. So now today I want to talk about three main divisions of forgiveness. And of course, the first is forgiveness from God. You got to start right there. You got to start right there, you know, coming to God, you know, asking him to forgive you, you know, and cleanse you, you know, from all unrighteousness, right? And you know, the Bible says it's a free gift. He'll do it. He'll do it. All you have to do is ask. This is one of the most simple part of forgiveness. Forgiveness from God. You just approach him and ask him, and he'll do it. He'll do it because he wants communion with you. And so once we get forgiveness from God, I really think that one of the hardest things that I find in the area of forgiveness is forgiving ourselves. Now, a lot of people, and I know this because this is part of my job. This is how part of my job where I work is to, I talk to people all across the country for the past few years. I talk to a lot of people, and I get to minister to them. I get to pray for them, and they tell me what they're going through. And so many people are struggling to forgive themselves. You know, they can't believe, and I hear Sandra talking about this sometimes. So they can't believe the goodness of God will forgive them. And so they struggle to forgive themselves. I talked to one lady recently. I've talked to many, hundreds in the past few years. I talked to one lady, and she's 77 years old, still struggling because she had an abortion when she was a young woman. She can't forgive herself. And so I ministered the love of God to her. You know, God loves you. All you got to do is ask for forgiveness. He'll do it. He'll do it. He'll give it to you. But she's 77 years old, still struggling. And, you know, this is what the enemy loves. He loves to keep you in bondage. He loves to keep you in bondage. But, you know, it's okay to get indignant with the devil. It's okay to get indignantly mad and say, I'm not going to believe you because you're a liar and you're the father of lies, and I don't have to believe that. God will forgive me. But I ministered to her, you know, the forgiveness of God. You know, I talked to another lady. She had children out of wedlock. Educated lady, doing well, children doing well. She couldn't forgive herself. You know, but God, you know, the sovereignty of God, you know, if we can just believe. But I think what it is, people are duped by the lies of the enemy. He whispers to them. And as long as he can keep you walking in feelings of unworthiness, you know, I'm not worthy of the love of God. You know, when you go to a bank, now this is just an example of unworthiness. If you go to a bank and you already know you don't have good credit, you want to get a loan, you go in there with your head down. I would like to get a loan if you all would please. And you know you don't have good credit, right? You don't have any faith that they're going to do it, that they're going to do it. But if you have good credit, you go in there and say, I know you're going to give me a loan. I know you're going to give me one. My credit is 800. I got 800 credit. I know you're going to give it to me. And listen, this is what God said to us. Come boldly. We're not going to go to that scripture, but you know the scripture. Come boldly before the throne of grace. If you got good credit, you're going to come in there boldly and say, I'm getting a loan today. Because they're going to give me one. And listen, this is how God wants us to approach him. Boldly, boldly. You know, we can go in without the bells. Because we don't need the bells. We have the forgiveness of God. We don't need the bells. Nobody's going to drag us out of the holiest of holies. Because we're clean. And we're washed. And all you got to do is ask him. That's it. That's it. And the Bible calls us priests and kings. We are priests. We're priests, and we have the authority to go into the holiest of holies at will, anytime we want to, all day long. We have access to God. You know, we have access to him. You know, and so we need to believe the word of God. Receive your forgiveness from God. Forgive yourself. Don't let the enemy drag you down. And I thank God Sandra comes up here and says that to us sometimes. It is a stronghold of the enemy. You know what a stronghold is? It is a fortified thing. You know, the enemy lies, and then he builds a fortress around the lie. And you're stuck inside this fortress. You know? But how many know that the Bible says the weapons of our warfare are mighty, and they are powerful to the pulling down of strongholds? How many know that scripture? Amen. It's our weapons are powerful to the pulling down of strongholds. When you believe the lie of the enemy to keep you feeling unworthy, it is a stronghold. The longer you believe it, the higher the stronghold becomes. And this is the ploy of the enemy. That's why the Bible says, know the devices of the enemy. Know what it is. And how, you know, ignorance will kill you. You know, we need ignorance. He said, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. You know, and the knowledge is in this word. And so we have to believe it. We have to believe the word of God. And don't be tricked. Don't be tricked by the enemy. He's a liar. And look, he's been studying mankind for a long time. He's been trying to twist the word of God for a long time. He's excellent at it. He's studied man since Eve. Since he duped Eve, he's been doing the same thing. His main weapon is deception. His main weapon is deception, to deceive you into believing that God is not as good as he says he is. But the devil is a liar. The devil is a liar, so we don't have to believe them. Now listen, you know, forgiving ourselves, you know, that's one of the main things. That's a really, really big struggle. You know, in 1 John 1 and 9, it says that if you, and I'm just paraphrasing, he said if you confess your sins, he's faithful and just to forgive your sins. Now, you have to believe that scripture in order to get free. And in Romans 1 and 8, he says, there's therefore now no condemnation. No condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. None. We don't have to walk in condemnation. I don't care what it is. You know, one of the men of God on TV, I'm not going to name him, but one of the men of God on TV gave this testimony. He befriended this man in prison who was a serial killer. And this man had to forgive himself for all that he had done. And he befriended him, and he was on death row. Now, if he's able to forgive himself for what he did, you know, surely we can forgive ourselves for something we didn't do, little things we didn't do. We can do that. But when he was executed, the man of God was invited to come. He died praising God. He died praising God. This is a serial killer who God washed in the blood of Jesus. And surely the little things, you know, that we do, you know, we can get forgiveness for that. Now, I want to, so that's a really, really hard one for a lot of people. But I want to talk about, this is a big one, and I know it's big because I talk to people a lot. That's part of my job. I talk to people all across the country, and I hear all kinds of stories. They tell me their issues. They tell me their problems. Sometimes I'm like, what? Sometimes I'm like, what'd you say? They tell me all kinds of things, and I get to pray with them, of course. But forgiving other people, that's a big one. That's a big one. When somebody hurts us, it's so hard sometimes to forgive them. It's so hard. You know, because we're like, why are you going to hurt me like that? But listen. You know, it's not worth, it just is not worth carrying bitterness and unforgiveness. It's just not worth it. I want to talk about this one scripture that would help people to get rid of the bitterness and the unforgiveness. I don't care what they did. A lot of times we say, well, if I forgive them, it'll be like I'm letting them off the hook. No, you're letting yourself off the hook. You're the one on the hook. You're on the hook. Because if you're walking in unforgiveness, you are hooked, you're bound, and you're tangled up in your unforgiveness and in your bitterness. So you're not letting them off the hook. You're letting yourself off the hook, and you're taking yourself out of prison. Whenever I hear someone say, I'll never forgive them, it makes me shudder. Because I said, you just pronounced a prison sentence on yourself. You just put yourself in jail. You feel like they should be in jail, but you're the one in jail. You are in prison. You have imprisoned your emotions towards that. So when I hear people say, I'll never forgive them, I shudder. I'm like, you are in trouble. You know, you're in prison. You know, and you need to break free. You're in prison with the key. You're sitting inside of prison behind the bars with the key. But in Matthew, one of the reasons to forgive people is in Matthew 11:25. And it says, when you stand praying, at that time Jesus answered. Oh, that's not the one. He said, well, in the one that I want to talk about, it says, when you stand praying, forgive. Forgive. Because what's the reason? Because if you don't forgive, then your prayers are hindered. It's hindered. You know, how can God hear you when you're holding grudges and you got bitterness against people? And you know, it grieves the heart of God because he wants communion. That's what I was talking about in the beginning. God wants communion. So when we are walking in unforgiveness, we are separated from him. You know, we don't have the full communion that God wants when we're walking in unforgiveness. So one reason to forgive is so your prayers can be answered because they're hindered. Now, you know, one of the most powerful stories about forgiveness in the Bible that I find is in Genesis 37:4, where it talks about how Joseph was hated by his brothers. And we all know this story because his father favored him and because he had the coat of many colors. And the father showed him, they thought, more love than his brothers. And they hated him. And if you read down further in there, all the things that they did to Joseph, think about all they did to him. First they were going to kill him. Then Reuben saved him. They said, don't kill him. He didn't save him completely, which he should have done. But he said, well, okay, don't kill him. But okay, I'm going to let you put him in the pit, though. Which I don't know why he did that. He partially saved him. But then he let him put him in the pit. And so then some people came by and they bought him as a slave. Now this is his brothers doing this to him. His blood brothers doing this to him. And then once he was taken into that kingdom, he served the ruler for a while, but then he got in, he was falsely accused and put in prison. And I know y'all know this story, so I'm just recapping it very, you know, just concisely so we don't have to go and read all of it. But then he was in prison, and then he, you know, the baker and the other guy in there, he said, we'll help you. Will you help me when you get out? Help me. Help me get out of prison. Even they betrayed him. Even they betrayed him. When they got out, they forgot all about him. They were like, we're out. I'm sorry about you, but we're out. I'm sorry about you, but we're out now. And they forgot about him. They forgot about him. But look, now he could have been filled. Now, look, most people who endured all of that, they would have been so mad. They would have been like, I'm never going to forgive you. You're my brother. You were going to kill me. You put me in the pit. You made me a slave. All of these things. I was in prison all because. Now, he had every reason in the world to be mad, to be upset, to be resentful, to have bitterness. But that's not what Joseph, that's not what he did. Did y'all have all that going on in your life? I don't think so. Thank God. Thank God. I don't think so. But listen, down in Genesis 45, 3 and 5, you know, it talks about how he handled it. He forgave them way before they came there. He had forgiven them. So when they needed some food, they came to Joseph. You know, the Lord would make your enemies come to you. You know, the Bible says, love your enemies. It said, by this you heap coals of fire upon their head if you love them. Love your enemies. Love your enemies. And this is what he did. He loved them. Now, in if you jump down to verse 15, he not only forgave them, he went around and kissed them all. He kissed the ones that tried to kill him. He kissed them. He gave them food. He gave them money. He kissed every one of them. He didn't say, I'm just going to kiss Benjamin. The rest of y'all just stay over there because I'm not. I know what you tried to do to me. But no, he didn't. The Bible said he kissed them all, and he forgave them all. Now, surely anybody that hurt you, it's less than that. I know it is. Yeah, I know it is. I've had things done to me where I've had to forgive. Because it's not worth me putting myself in prison. I don't care what you did. And a lot of times what you can do to help yourself forgive them is try to analyze, why would they do that? Analyze what provoked them to do it. Sometimes they're having problems in their own life. Sometimes, you know, we always say this, hurt people hurt people. Sometimes they're hurt. And so because they have some psychological things going on in their life, they're hurt, they're bitter. And so they don't know how to give love, and they're angry, and they lash out at people. And you have to think about that and pray for them. The Bible says, pray for them that despitefully uses you. Pray for them. And it says, when they curse you, curse not. And don't render evil for evil. Listen, God says, he says, vengeance is mine. A lot of times we say, well, I'm a Christian, I don't do vengeance. But when you decide that I'm not going to show love, that's vengeance. You know, it's a subtle kind of vengeance. We do the Christian kind of vengeance. You know what I'm saying? We do the Christian kind. We say, well, you know what? And nobody's name is Susie in here, right? Well, Sister Susie. Well, Sister Susie, she took my seat. She know I sit there every Sunday, and I don't like it. When I see her, I'm not speaking to her. That's vengeance. That's the Christian kind of vengeance. And you say, well, you know what? When they say go hug everybody in the church, I'm just going to bypass her. I'm going to bypass Susie because I don't like what she did. I ain't got to take that kind of stuff. You know how we do. That's the Christian way to take vengeance on people. Listen, vengeance is vengeance. I don't care what you say. Vengeance is vengeance. And the Lord said, vengeance is mine. Leave them alone and pray for them. Pray for them. Because as you pray for them, God is going to bless you. And he's going to elevate you. You know, even when Job's friends were accusing him, they said, "Don't, Job, you are sick because you did something wrong. You didn't sin somewhere. And, you know, we know." So three of his friends felt that way. One, only one got it right. But he could have been mad at them. But at the end, at the end of all of it, you know, the Lord told him, he said, pray for them. Pray for them. So that's what we need to do. You know, we're in a time where we can't afford to have those kinds of things on the inside, because God wants to use everybody in this building. Everybody in this building was born with gifts and talents that God wants to use, and a lot of times it's hindered because we have stuff in here, unforgiveness. Sometimes we don't think we have unforgiveness. We say, "I forgive you with this right here." But we have to do it with this right here. We've got to do it with our heart, you know, because we can't do like some people were doing God with their mouth. They were saying all these things, but their heart was far from him. But we got to do it from in here. Forgive them completely. Let them go and get yourself out of prison. It's not worth it. It's not worth it. And, you know, I want to talk about the fact that God wants to robe us with righteousness. Now, when I don't want to go to this scripture because it's too long, but it talks about one of the prophets. He was caught up. He was caught up into heaven, and he was dressed in ragged clothes, which symbolizes sin. But God cleaned him and put on a righteous robe on him. You know, a righteous robe. That's what we have. We are robed in righteousness. We are robed in righteousness if we can believe it. If we can believe it and if we can accept it, we are robed in righteousness. And we just have to believe, you know, believe God. Now, I do want to put up the definition of forgiveness so that we can just have a visual of that if we have that. The definition of forgiveness, it is, and this is a good definition that I found. There are other definitions as well, but this is one that I found. It says, forgiveness is a conscious, deliberate decision to release feelings of resentment, bitterness, or vengeance towards a person, a group that hurt you, harmed you, regardless, this is the key word, regardless of whether they deserve it or not. A lot of people don't deserve it. Well, we feel like they don't deserve our forgiveness. But this says regardless of whether they deserve it or not. That's the definition. And here, this is a key word, too. It's a deliberate decision. Because a lot of times we still feel hurt. And we feel like, well, if I feel hurt, maybe I really have not forgiven them. But no, you can still feel hurt. Even though you can forgive them, sometimes hurt takes a while to heal. Because you're wounded. You're wounded on the inside because of what they did, what happened to you, the circumstances. And so you still might be hurt, but forgiveness is not a feeling. It's a deliberate decision. I forgive you because I want to please God. I forgive you because I want communion with God. I forgive you because I want God to use me. I want to walk in the love of God. You know, in 2 Corinthians 13, where it gives the definition of love, and I know you all, we're not going to a lot of these scriptures because I know you already know them, but in 2 Corinthians 13, it talks about what love is. And one of the things that it says, love keeps no record of wrong. Come on. It keeps no record of wrong. You know, and that's kind of hard to do because when they're doing something, you want to say, look, you did that to me. I don't like it, and I ain't going to forget it. You know, we keep a record. We keep a record. But he told Peter, he said, how many times do I have to forgive them? Seven times, Lord. He thought he was saying something. He said, no, not seven times. 70 times seven. Now, I don't think God meant for us to, now nobody's going to hurt us 70 times seven in one day. Or, you know what I'm saying? But what the Lord was trying to say to him, that forgive them every time. Really, that's what he meant. 70 times 7. Nobody's going to offend you 70 times 7. That's a whole lot. If they do, man, Jesus Christ. Woe unto them. Woe unto them. But what he was saying, you got to forgive them every time. Every time they do something, I forgive you. You're not going to get me in prison. I forgive you. I don't care what you did. God got you. Vengeance is mine, says the Lord. Let me handle them. I can handle them. If you take vengeance, you are putting yourself in jeopardy because you're trying to do something that only the Lord can do. He says, it's mine. Vengeance is mine. Leave it alone. Let them alone and let me handle it. I can handle them. I can handle them. But we want to walk in love because we want to be in communion with God. How many know in the last days that we're living in, we need to stay in constant communion with God. Do you see what's going on in the world? Do you see what's going on in the world? And do you think it's going to get better? It's not. It's not. The Bible said, you know, that there's going to be wars and rumors of wars. And listen, all that's going on in the world that the enemy is stirring up because he knows he has but a short time, and he's trying to do as much damage as he can before his time is up. So he's on a rampage. But the thing is, he not only is stirring up stuff in the world generally, he's coming down your street. He's coming down your avenue. And he's going to try to stir up stuff in your personal world. And so we have to stay in communion with God. So we can't have unforgiveness. We can't have bitterness. We need God. Do y'all need him? I do. I need God. I need God. I need communion with God. I need my prayers answered. I need God. I need God to be with me, to help me. I need him to wake me up in the morning. My next breath depends on God. You know, so I need him. I can't afford to have the unforgiveness in here. I need the Lord. And so do you. We need him. We need him. And he wants, God passionately desires communion with us. He passionately desires. He is working day and night to get us covered in forgiveness, help us to walk in forgiveness. He's passionate about it, and we should be too. And all you got to do is think about the consequences of unforgiveness. Think about it. Is it worth it? It's just not worth it. It's not worth it. There's one other scripture I wanted to go to. Well, you know what? I don't want to prolong the time, so we're just going to, I want us to pray before we end. We're just going to pray and just ask God, you know, to just do a cleansing so that we can have closer communion with God. Even if you have to forgive yourself, you know, for something, whatever it is. You know, most Christians, you know, there's two types of sin, overt sin and, you know, sins of omission is what most Christians do. If he tell you to pray, you're like, Lord, I'm sleepy. I'm tired. I don't have time right now. You know, that's a sin, but it's a sin of omission. So most Christians, that's their guilt. They're not doing overt sin. They're not out there, you know, clubbing and drinking and, well, I hope not anyway, but any of those kinds of things. But we, a lot of us have, you know, we do sins of omission. I myself, sometimes the Lord say, get up and pray. I'm like, well, can you give me 15 more minutes, Lord? I mean, I'm tired, you know, sleepy, you know, and if I don't do it, it's a sin, it's of omission, because he urged me to get up and pray. He urged me to go and share a word with this person, and I let fear stop me. If he asked me to do it and I disobey, that's sin. It's a sin of omission. I don't want to say it's because all sin is sin. But most Christians, it's those kinds of things, sins of omission, not doing what the Lord asks you to do. But even that is sin. But we want to get cleansed. We want to become obedient to the word of God, to God who wants communion. And like I said in the beginning, that's the whole Bible is about that. It's about communion with God. That's what he wants. God didn't have to create the world and put us in it. He was completely sufficient in heaven. He did it just like, you know, when a married couple wants to express love, they want an object of their love. They want to have a child, right? They want to have a child so they can love it. And and that's what God wanted. He created us to love us. He didn't have to do that. You know, him and Jesus could have had a good old time. Him and the angels, they didn't have to. You know, he could have created another kind of being, but he said, I'm going to create them in my image and in my likeness. You know, that's what he did, so that he could have communion. So, you know, it hurt the heart of God when Adam fell, but ever since then, he's been passionately trying to get back the communion that he had in the Garden of Eden. So I want to pray today, and we're just going to pray, just ask God, you know, to give us deeper communion with him, because that's what he wants. That's what he's been seeking. He's been seeking that, and we want to ask God. We want to go deeper in God. You know, how many want a closer walk with Jesus? You know, how many want to get lost in the Spirit of God? Lose yourself and get caught up in the Spirit of God. We're going to need it. We're going to need it because we are in the last days. We're going to need it. We are going to need it. So we are in the last days. We want God. We want God to fill us. We don't want any hindrances like unforgiveness. We don't want that. Right, I don't care what anybody does to you. You gotta forgive them. You gotta forgive them because it's not worth it not to do it. Amen. So let's just pray. Father, we bless you this morning and we praise you, God. Father, you are infinitely beautiful, and we just praise you for creating us to love us. That's the only reason you made us. You wanted to love us. You wanted an object of your love. You wanted to express your love to us. Now, Father, we just pray that if there's any unforgiveness in any of us, Father, God, we ask you right now to forgive us. God, help us to forgive others. Help us to forgive ourselves. God, we want communion with you. God, we desire communion with you. We need it. And so, Father, we're reaching out for it today in Jesus' name. God, begin to pour in to us, Father, until there's no room for bitterness. There's no room for unforgiveness. There's no room for disobedience. Only room for the Holy Spirit in the name of Jesus. Father, have your way today. Inside of us, we surrender. We surrender everything inside of us to you today, Father, for you to have your way, God. You've been seeking communion. And Father, we open open up our hearts to you today, God. We open up our souls to you today, Father. We lay down our lives before you today, Father. And we surrender everything to you right now, Father, for you to have your way. Have your way. Have your way. We need you, and we want you to take full, complete control of us today, Father. In the name of Jesus, we know that we're living in the last days, that we're going to need you more and more and more. So, Father, help us not to listen to the enemy, but, Father, help us to hear the word of the Lord, what thus said the Lord. And he's saying, I love you, I forgive you, I give you the power to forgive. Father, I thank you, and I praise you that you cleanse us in the blood of Jesus, because there's power in the blood. Power in the blood of Jesus. And God, we give you praise for that, God. We give you glory for it in the name of Jesus. And we praise you in Jesus' name.